Oh, hello, I'm Dan, if you don't know me. I lead Mosaic South Gathering. And during this start of this preaching series on gracism, we've explored a few different things, all about a diverse and multicultural church. And that's one that looks out for those who are different, not just looks out for those who you like or those who are similar to you. We've explored the multicultural church in the big story of God. In the Bible, we've looked at preferring community over comfort and relationships over personal preferences. We looked in detail at some verses that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, and where he says in chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, but God has put the body together, giving great honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. And this week, myself and Jonah, who's one of the leaders in Mosaic South Gathering, we're going to have a little bit of focus on the end of this verse, the parts of the body having equal concern for one another. And Jonah and I, we're gonna tag team it, although we'll be a little bit more gentle than a pair of tag team wrestlers. If you're joining us online and you wouldn't say you're a follower of Jesus, I honestly believe that we're seeing God show us a way we can be living through this second wave of COVID and beyond into the future. He's showing us it's less about how I can get through this and more about how we can get through this together. And the story from Jesus that we're going to look at today, it gives us some answers to the now question of how we should be in the second wave, and also for the questions of the future. What's the way through of building a multicultural church that's diverse and inclusive? We might have our hearts challenged and moved as we make our way through this morning. And so God help us. And I'm going to pray for us now. I say, Father, please, would you come? Come and move in us today. Father, please, would you come and move in each of us so that we may love you and love each other to a greater extent. Holy Spirit, thank you that you live in every heart that welcomes you as Lord and Saviour. And so please, transform us today, shine your light into any darkness in our hearts. And I ask you that we would experience and know you more, and know of your concern for us, so that we may move from self-concern to equal concern. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage we're going to look at we're going to bring some focus to on this is a story told by Jesus. We can find it in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Jesus is being tested by some of the religious leaders of the day, and then one of them asks a question which had some traps in it that Jesus might fall into. And this man's question at its heart is about how we can live for God. And in answering this question, Jesus tells a story with three main characters. One is a priest, another is a Levite, both are religious people of the day who are really strict about rule following. And these characters, they're the friends of the people listening to this story. The final character we meet is a Samaritan, and he's cast as an enemy to those who are listening. He's a rejected half-brother type in this culture. He's a kind of family member who's estranged. And so let's watch this video enactment on screen now, and you can read along in Luke 10 from verse 25.
On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
So there's a contrast in this story, isn't it? The Samaritan, the enemy, the supposed bad guy in the story, he forgets about himself in an instant. He crosses the road to care and lift up that other person. Whereas the religious people, the friends, the supposed good guys in the story, they walk by, they walk on the other side. And when we're tempted to walk on the other side of the road, Jesus calls us to be different and to embrace those who need help, to lift those who are on the ground. And it's so funny, isn't it? I'm preaching on this story because I spend much of my time, and I bet you do too, when you're out walking, you cross the road to assure social distancing, to be considerate, rather than crossing the road to be close to people, to take care of them, to lift them up. Maybe it's God's sense of humour coming through, I don't know. But let me ask you a question. What is your desire? Which side of the road do you want to walk? Do you desire to be someone that lifts someone up from the road, from the dirt? You might argue that the Levite and the priest, they weren't bad people. They were just busy. They were preoccupied. They had valid reasons to pass by. Yet Jesus says at the end of the story, spoiler alert coming here, "Go and do likewise." Go and do like the Samaritan in the story. Not the priest, not the Levite. Go and do like the Samaritan. And Jesus, the teacher, the teller of this story, he has wisdom for us today. And we are to be like the Samaritan, not the Levite and the Levite or the priest. So what causes us to walk on the other side? Let's look at it like this. The reasons we don't stop and lift up the person in need, whether that's in an instant or over a period of time, that's a metaphor for showing equal concern, lifting up the other person. The reason we don't do this is because our arms are already full. And if we're going to carry others, if we're going to have equal concern, if we're going to lift others, we need to recognise what's already in our arms. So imagine the things in life. Imagine a story where someone is lying on the floor. I've got some help of some actors, shall we say, this morning. So here's the person lying on the floor. He's Big Ted in our house. He's lying on the floor. But what's in my hands? Well, maybe it's children. They're preoccupying my attention. And I'm not saying any of these things are bad things. I'm just saying let's look at what's already in our life. Comfort. Kind of things we take comfort in. My schedule, my plans. Security in a financial situation, my money. Maybe fear of what might happen to me. This is a mirror. You perhaps can't see it. What might others think of me if I do this or I go and lift that person up? And if I'm holding all these things tightly, I've not got much space to show any equal concern to anyone else, to lift anyone else up. How might I lift my fallen friend or even my fallen enemy from the floor unless I'm able to put these things down? I've been asking myself this question in the past 2 weeks as I've been preparing for this message. Am I more concerned with my own schedule, my status, even my exercise plan, than with the needs of those I see around me? People like Big Ted. Have I got space in my arms to lift him up? A couple of Saturdays ago, I was sat in my living room about 10:30 at night, on really kind of thinking about on the way to getting to bed. And I heard outside my front window an altercation happening, two people shouting at each other in the street. And rather than going out to check if everyone was all right, if anyone needed lifting up, I just sat and I remained in my comfort of my front room. And I'm not saying that everyone is to go out their front door and put themselves in danger at all times. But in that moment, having been preparing for this preach, I sensed the Holy Spirit just speak to me about my own self-concern rather than having equal concern. And you see, the heart attitude is to avoid the problem. And that was the heart attitude of the Levite and the priest. They passed by. But the heart attitude of the Samaritan was that they saw the problem as an opportunity to love. Well, let me tap out and tag Jonah in at this point. So great to preach alongside you, Jonah. What do you think, Jonah, about what I'm saying? What do you think about what Jesus is saying in this story?
Thanks, Dan, for sharing your story in such a practical way. This story is a call to action, and our obedience demonstrates our love for God. Dan talked about the contrast in this story at the beginning. On one hand, the priest and the Levite were asking, "What will happen to me?" But the Samaritan was asking, "What will happen to him?" Let's look at three things that this Samaritan did. Number one, he had compassion for the man. The actual words used there are pity, which often carries a negative meaning in today's context. But this word is referring to having compassion. The Samaritan was moved to action because of compassion. Jesus often showed compassion to people he met. He sometimes had to stop what he was doing completely to care and to pray for people in need of his attention. You see, compassion comes from the heart, and it is important that we are in a position to reflect on and take action when God brings different things into our attention. Some years back, our second daughter, Chichi, who was 6 years old at the time, we were all watching TV one evening when she went out, got a piggy bank and gave us all the money in the piggy bank, asking us to donate to a certain charity. This charity was showing an advert on TV that was showing the plight of children in Africa who did not have access to clean water. Even though I was more aware of the problem and had seen the advert several times, it took Chichi's action, which was born out of compassion, for us to do something about it and to give to the charity. Chichi did not just talk about the problem, she was willing to take action. What is God bringing to our awareness? And our heart should be, what would you want me to do? God, what would you want me to do in this situation? Number two thing that the Samaritan did, he took action to care for the man. The Samaritan took care of this man. He bandaged his arm. He took him to safety. This is symbolic of a shepherd's heart, a heart that cares for others and desires to bring them into safety or well-being and take care of their well-being. Jesus demonstrated this by caring for people, by praying for the sick. Often he had compassion on the crowds and he wanted to attend to their needs. You see, God wants us to look around us and to care for other people. We celebrate in our church, Mosaic Church, people who regularly seek to connect to care for others. Our mission group leaders who will sometimes send a text, make a call, and everyone who does that, especially in this difficult time. It truly makes a difference when we find time to check on others and show equal concern by connecting with them and offering to pray for them. Number three thing that the Samaritan did, he invested his resources in the man's long-term healing. He was generous. His care did not end the first day. The next day, he showed up providing money to ensure that this man became fully well. He was committed to this man's long-term healing. It's almost like the Samaritan would say, I'll stand with you until I know you are okay. He was not just dispensing money alone, but he was willing to be on a journey with this man. That is commitment to the other's well-being. How often do we stand with others in prayer, praying for them and trusting and believing God for his will and goodness to be manifest? Let's summarize this part. The Levite and the priest were avoiding the problem, but the Samaritan was engaged with the problem. He saw it as an opportunity to love. The Levite and the priest were concerned about themselves alone, but the Samaritan was concerned about this man's plight. He was concerned about other people. The Levite and the priest were unwilling to make even short-term sacrifice, but the Samaritan was willing to make a long-term commitment to the other person's well-being. What is really obvious in this story is that the Samaritan was not putting up a show. He was not doing this because he wanted a special medal. The difference between him and the priest or Levite was his heart condition. It's about our heart, and it's also about the action we take. Let's remind ourselves about the context of this criticism series. We are tapping into the heartbeat of God, and our desire is to be a multicultural and a diverse church. You see, for this to happen, we will need to avoid preoccupation with ourselves, and we will be willing to show equal concern to everyone, and not just to the people we like or to the people we feel good about. As someone in the minority at Mosaic, I have felt, if I'm honest, real joy about this series. I felt like, yes, this is my church. We're having a difficult but necessary conversation because we care. But also, it's been a huge time of challenge for me to reflect on what God is asking of me. It is so easy to fall into the danger of thinking this series is for other people, because deep down I know that God is challenging me to pay more attention, to prioritize relationships over my personal preferences, as we heard from Dave Osford last week. And he's challenging me to look beyond myself and to consider others. I am constantly encouraged by how many in our church family step out to be a witness, leading lives out of their comfort zones, like the commitment and investment of members of our church to Holbeck as a community. It's almost like they're saying, we are going to commit ourselves, this community, until we see that they are okay. They are committing to the salvation and to the well-being of people in that community. Last week, we prayed for the NHS, and we are so blessed by what people in the NHS do and the sacrifice they make. It reminds me 2 weeks, a couple of weeks back, Jane Ogini, who is a member of our South Gathering, and there should be a picture of Jane and Ransom, her husband, on the screen somewhere now. Jane Ogini demonstrated active compassion by deciding to give gifts to our colleagues who she works with. In doing this, Jane was choosing to consider others, and she was honoring and lifting up our colleagues. This is what God wants us to be. This is who God wants us to be. This is what God is calling us to be as a people, as a church, to consider others equally. And this is so important. I'll pass on to Dan now to share with us what else we could do as we reflect on this message.
Ah, thanks, Jonah. I really love what you're saying. I really love those stories that you've shared. As for your question, what else can we do? Well, I want to make this really simple for us. It's about our heart and it's about our hands. It's about our heart. So the prophet Ezekiel, through him, God promises that the people of God might be given a heart of flesh. So they will remove a heart of stone. So it moves people from having a hard heart to a soft heart. And so where are the areas of your heart that are hard, which means you don't have equal concern? Where does he need to come and make your heart soft? Today, allow yourself to be touched by God's compassion and mercy. And our hands, what do we need to lay down so that we can lift other people up? What must I do given what I've heard? Who must I cross the road to? See, having equal concern means we just make it standard practice to consider other people's feelings and perspectives before we make decisions. Well, we've looked at moving from self-concern to equal concern, and we have an example in the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher of today's story, who the God the Son, who was with the Father and with the Spirit in heaven, chose to step down to earth and make his home among people. He is someone who laid down what was in his arms, not to cross a road, but to move from heaven to earth. He reflects compassion like nobody else. He reflects a heart which cares for others and acts to bring them to safety. He reflects a generous heart, willing not to just to give of his wealth for people, but to give his life so that we may have life through his death. What an example. What a saviour. Let's turn to him now in worship. Let me pray as we do so. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for what you've shown us. And we pray as we come into worship of Jesus now, God, help us worship. Help us kind of pour out our praise to you. And we pray you'd also move our heart, move our actions. So we are moved from self-concern to equal concern. In Jesus' name, may you be glorified. Amen.